Just want to introduce our speaker tonight. And I've known this man for a long time, and I really like him. And actually, this coming week, next week on the 11th, is our 37th wedding anniversary. And we still like each other after all that time. So, without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Charlie LeBlanc to the stage.
Wow. Is this on? Is this okay? I think that was the first ever that my wife has introduced me like that. What a blessing. I'm really honored and really blessed. Thank you, baby. I love you. We are blessed to have been married that long. And for anyone who's been married that long or longer, raise your hand. Praise the Lord. And everybody say grace. Hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus. Amen. God is good and he is faithful. His faithfulness reaches to the clouds, and we're just so grateful for how he has blessed us and blessed our relationship, blessed our family. And you know, we didn't know what we were doing when we got married. We just we met each other. We were leading worship at a church in St. Louis, and she was 18 years old, and 17 when I first met you. I was 20 years old, and she started smiling at me and stuff, and I'm like, who's this little girl, you know, kind of thing. And but as time went on, you know, we started hanging out and having fun together, goofing around, and you know, I started realizing that the Lord was putting us together. We would sing together. In fact, I remember we were people started asking us to sing in weddings, you know, like, hey, Charlie, will you sing a song in our wedding? And oh, by the way, Jill, will you sing this song in our wedding? And then they'd say, oh, and there's this great duet song where the guy sings to the girl and the girl sings to the guy. Hey, would you guys mind singing that duet? Y'all remember those duet songs? And so, you know, I'd have to sing, you know, woman, your worth is far above all precious jewels. And I'm like, she's just a friend, you know. And she'd have to sing, you know, man, you're the man that I love and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, dude, this is getting out of control, you know. But as time went on, the Lord really put us together. I remember one time we were actually dating and enjoying each other and checking each other out and seeing if this was God or not, you know. And I remember I was just feeling, you know, I just don't know. I'm very undecisive. But where's Kaysen? Where'd he go? There he is. Kaysen and me a little bit alike, a lot alike in a lot of ways. And I remember at his wedding, his brother saying how indecisive Kaysen was back then. But I'm a lot that way, so I was like, I know I like her, but I'm not sure. You know, I don't know if this is going to really work or not. And so I just said, you know what? I think we need to break this thing off for a while and just really seek the Lord. We need to really fast and pray and really seek the Lord. And she's like, well, okay, if that's what you want, you know. And so we broke up. Well, the only problem is we had one of these weddings scheduled where we sang together in it. And so, you know, I'm trying to be the strong man. I'm going to be tough about this thing, and I'm going to be, you know, together. And so we're in the back room. The wedding's about ready to start, and we're rehearsing in the back room. And so we're doing one of these songs where I'm singing, you know, woman, you're the woman I love. And she's singing, man, I love you, and I want to spend my life with you. And all of a sudden, she starts crying. And I'm like, no, this is not the time. We can't talk about, we don't have time. They're about ready to introduce us. The wedding party's coming down. We got to get this thing going, you know. I said, I promise you, we'll talk about our relationship as soon as the wedding's over, but we can't do this now, you know, that kind of a deal. So anyway, but we made it through it, and God blessed, and, you know, God opened my eyes. Hallelujah. How many are thankful that God opens our eyes, right? He opens our eyes, opened my eyes to the truth, and so we got married in 1978. Yes, thank you, Jesus. I got that one right. Won't be sleeping on the couch tonight. So 1978, and you know, God has blessed our relationship. But, you know, we're worship leaders. We sang at our local church. Actually, you know, she was playing piano and singing, playing a little guitar. I was playing guitar and singing, playing bass a little bit at the church, Danny. And so, but you know, we met each other in Jesus, you know, just loving Jesus, and all of a sudden, after, you know, after a couple weeks of marriage or so, you know, we started kind of having a little bit of disagreement, little misunderstandings. And I'm like, you know, wait a minute. She doesn't think the way I think. What's wrong here, you know? And so, you know, before I know it, you know, we started clashing and having some difficulty. And it didn't fit with my, you know, with my worship leading, Jesus, everything's happy, everything's perfect, life is wonderful, God's great. It didn't work, you know. And so we're just, and I mean, tell you what, we had some clashes in those early days. One time she ran out of the house on me. I was like, what's this all about? You know, this ain't working. I remember just praying, seeking God, saying, God, you got to help us. This ain't working. Something's not right. You know, and I think, you know, I think it's good to share stuff like that because a lot of people that go through difficult times, they think that they're the only ones, you know. They think that they're the only ones that have difficulty. But we've had our share of difficulties, and we've had our share of misunderstandings, even in our relationship. But you know, by the grace of God, the patience of God, through the help of God, just through his love and his patience, we've been able to sit down and work it out and be patient with each other. And I've learned how to zip it up. Come on, you men, you learn how to zip it up. Amen. I remember we were on the parking lot of Rhema Bible Training Center. We attended Rhema in 1979 together. We were just going for it, you know. And we attended Rhema Bible Training Center. And I remember we were getting in. We had this big argument on the way to one of these camp meetings or something. We were having an argument, you know, and we're in the car and we're just going at it. And we park and we're getting ready to go in. And I thought, well, we can't go in. This is terrible. It's terrible to go in like this. And so I just thought, you know what? I said, we just turned off the cars. I said, we just need to pray. So we're praying, and she's not praying. I'm praying. She's mad at me. And so we're just praying, you know. I'm praying. And I could tell her how wrong she is. I know. The first thing I thought of, I know that she's wrong, and I'm going to tell her right now. And the Holy Ghost says, don't you dare. You know, and I said, okay. So I just prayed some more, and all of a sudden the scriptures came, you know, wives, submit to your husbands. You know, in all things, I thought, man, I'm going to tell her that right now. That's it. This is it. I'm going to give her the word. I mean, this is spiritual. I've been praying. The Holy Ghost has spoken to me. She's going to get the word on this thing, you know. So I'm just about ready to give her the word, and the Holy Ghost arrests me again and says, don't you dare say that, you know. And that was the flesh. How many of you can be in the flesh with the word? Yeah. Hello. So I held that one. The Holy Ghost stopped me and said, you better not say that. And then all of a sudden he said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That was tough. She began to shout hallelujah, right? So, you know, so I turned her and I asked her forgiveness. I said, I'm sorry, you know, I'm wrong, forgive me. She loves it when I say I'm wrong. She just loves it. She loves it even better when I say you're right. You know, she just loves that. If I just say you're right, baby, she goes, hoo-hoo, you know, she's in total victory. So anyway, God is good and he has really helped us and blessed us and we're excited. We've got a lot of life ahead of us. We're really excited about our future. We've got two grandchildren. We've got one on the way in August, actually. Our third grandchild is coming in August. We don't know if it's a girl or a boy. We have two boys right now. And so we just love them. And we got two daughters that live in Jacksonville, Florida. And we're planning on moving there really soon, as a matter of fact, so that we can be closer to them. So God is good, and he's been faithful to us. Can you shout amen? Amen. You know, I have so many things. Can I be honest with you tonight? You know, it's good when preachers are honest, isn't it? The preacher says, now let me be honest with you right now. He's like, well, I hope you've been honest all night, you know. But, you know, I've really struggled about what to share with you tonight because, you know, so many things on my heart, so many things I want to share with you. I want to help you. You know, and of course, I can't help you. Only the Holy Ghost can help us, you know. But I really want to give you something that's going to help you and minister to you and give you strength in your life. And, you know, the only way that I can do that is to be very transparent with you, give you the Word of God and how the Word of God has helped me in my life. And, you know, so I've really struggled because there's so many things I wanted to say. you know, just being here, being worship leaders and so forth, and preaching on praise and worship for so many years, you know, I've got so many teachings on praise and worship that I believe will help you, will benefit you. But as I prayed more and more about tonight, just nothing was settling in exactly right. And then I thought, why did Lawson ask me, doggone it, you know? I don't have anything settled in, you know? But I really appreciate Lawson and Barbara and their love for us and their support of our ministry through the years. And, you know, of course, we love Kaysen, and that's why we're here tonight, is because we're part of the family. We've grown closer and closer to you guys. But, you know, I just was praying, Lord, what can I do to minister to you and to help you? And I thought the best way to do that is to be very transparent about our life and some of the things that we've been through, even recently in our life. And, you know, before I go any further, I do want to introduce a friend of mine who's here all the way from Poland, and that's Pastor Paul Gadawar. He came here tonight to be with us tonight. So, Paul, would you stand up? Let's let the people greet you. Pastor Paul Gadawar. From Poland, and I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly the city in Poland. What, where are you? Koszalin. Help me with that one. Huh? Koszalin? That's close. Anyway, we were there several years ago, about 8 years ago. We ministered in his church, did a worship seminar, and had a great time. And but anyway, I introduced Paul because, first of all, I wanted to honor him, and I appreciate him, but also because today at lunch, we had a great time of ministry together. He really ministered to me, and he shared some things with us that really encouraged us. And you know, one of the reasons I'm going to share tonight is partly because of some of the encouragement that he's given me today about sharing our testimony and what we have been through and how we have gotten where we've gotten today. People look at Jill and I, you know, and they think, man, you guys are worship leaders. You've been in full-time ministry for how many years? I don't know, 30-something years. And we've been singing, preaching all around the world. And wow, you're just so awesome. I wish I had a life like you, man. I wish everything was great like you guys, you know. And you know, some people don't realize, as I shared before, some of the struggles that Jill and I have had, some of the struggles we've had in our life, in our marriage, and even in with our kids and with our children. And, you know, one of the things I shared with Pastor Paul today was, you know, as life was going on, we're leading worship, we're doing conferences, everything's going great. I think, you know, nothing can be any better. Things are great. And then Joyce Meyer calls us up and she says, hey, how about leading worship for us? We say, oh, that'd be awesome. So we start traveling with Joyce and leading worship in these big conferences and thousands of people, and everything's wonderful, you know. And all of a sudden, my daughter gets married too young and she starts having trouble in her marriage. And I start going, wait a minute. This can't be right. What's going on here? So I'm praying and I'm ministering to her. I'm ministering to her husband, and I'm giving them scriptures and I'm doing everything I know to do with them. But you know what? The marriage kept falling apart, got worse and worse. Their communication, the verbiage, the words he was giving toward her, different situations. And you know what? It just was very, very unhealthy. And after 2 years of marriage, they had to split up, and they went their separate ways. And I tell you what, that crushed me. You know what? I had a perfect world planned out. I had a perfect world that I felt like I would walk in perfectly with my God and my Savior. But guess what? We ran into some difficulty. Anybody understand that? And you know what? I know a lot of precious people today that have run into terrible difficulty in their life. And you know, some of these people that I know have walked through that fire and they're not burned today. They're still walking in God's grace and God's love. But others have walked through that fire and they've gotten burned and they've gotten bitter and they've gotten hurt. But let me just tell you something. My daughter, even though that was a difficult time for her and a difficult time for us, we prayed, we sought God, we didn't know what to do. And when she went through that divorce, I'm going to tell you what, condemnation filled her life. She started running from God. She felt like God didn't love her. We loved her. God loved her, but she felt like no one understood her. No one understood the pain that she was going through. And so she ran and she hid and she tried to run here and run there. But you know what? God will never leave us or forsake us. Can you shout amen? And he'll chase us. Hallelujah. I love the fact that God keeps chasing us, even when we're hurt, even when things don't go the way we think they should go, and we get embittered a little bit. Guess what? God keeps loving us, and he keeps chasing us with his unfailing love. Can you shout amen? Amen. And, you know, I was worried about my daughter. I was praying. I was saying, God, what do I do? And, you know, when she was living, she started living at home again, and she'd stay out late, and I knew she was doing some things she shouldn't do, needed to do, and I was like, oh, God. And so I'd call her, where are you at? What are you doing? Why aren't you home yet? I was getting all worried, and I went to the Philippines on a mission trip with Jill, and while I was there, a pastor was there, and he had a session in the morning to preach after we had led worship, and instead he let his daughter get up and preach. And his daughter, who was about the age of my daughter, got up, and she was sweet and she was humble. And she just began to share about how God loved, chased after her, how she backslid, and how being a pastor's daughter, she was under a microscope in a really small church, and how difficult it was for her. And she just said how she ran from it, but then God just surrounded her with his love, and God never gave up on her. And you know what? I fell on my knees, and I began to weep before the Lord, and I said, God, you know my daughter. You love my daughter more than I do even. And I said, God, I trust you. I know that you're going to chase my daughter and you're going to get a hold of her. And God, forgive me for spending more time worrying about her and trying to control her life than spending time on my knees and praying and confessing the word over her. Can somebody shout amen? I repented and I gave that to God. I gave my daughter to God. And you say, Charlie, you should have done that a long time ago. Well, I had. I'd given her to God many times. But guess what? You know, I had to renew it. I'd give it to God, then I'd take her back. I'd get in the middle of it. But I had to give her to God. In that moment, I'm telling you what, I gave her to the Lord like I had never given her to the Lord before. We came home from the Philippines. She was there at the house. And she said, Dad, I got a great idea. I said, what? She said, and now this, you understand, she's 23 by now, okay? And she's doing all the wrong things. She said, Dad, she said, I feel like I want to move to Jacksonville, Florida with a girlfriend of mine. And I don't know, I just want to go there. I just want to be with her. Man, before that moment with God, I would have just gotten all over her and said, what do you mean? You go, what does that say? Do you have a job? What are you going to do there? How's that going to help, you know? And yet I just said, really? She said, yeah. I said, great. I said, well, you know, the Lord be with you. I said, I'm going to pray for you. I said, if that's what you feel like you need to do, I said, you go ahead. And then I told her what the Lord did in my life and how I was to release her. And I said, Cammie, I said, I'm just going to let you go and do what you feel you need to do, but I'm going to pray for you. If ever you need anything, let me know. I said, but I'm releasing you to God. And, you know, she went to Jacksonville, Florida. She got involved in the church and God got a hold of her like he has never, like I'd never seen anything like it before. I mean, she got on fire for God. You've heard the stories about from the pit to the palace, you know, hearing the story of Joseph, you know, from the pit to the palace. It was the same thing with Cammie. I mean, here she was running from God. She was doing a lot of wrong things. She was hanging out in the wrong places. She comes into this church. She gets miraculously touched by God. And within a month, she's living in the pastor's home as their personal nanny and taking care of the pastor and his wife's three kids. I'm telling you what, that's a pretty quick transformation. Amen. God restored the years that the canker had stolen from her. He restored it overnight, just boom. And there she was, a church of about 4,000 people. This pastor's a wonderful pastor in Jacksonville, Florida. And here she is living in this home and taking care of the pastor's kids. Isn't that beautiful? And you know, God just blessed her and she began to serve at that church and just love at that church, love God and love people. And she got married there. The worship leader of that church fell in love with her. They got married and now she's given me two grandkids. They're leading worship at another church now and they're doing great. Can somebody shout hallelujah? So God is good. Amen. So he's faithful. And, you know, we just had to release him. Many times, you know, we get too involved in things that we shouldn't be involved in. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be involved with our kids, but there comes a time when you have to totally release them. Amen. I mean, if you're still, you know, guiding every little step along the way and stopping them from doing this and stopping them from doing that when they're in their late 20s, and, you know, you're meddling too much, you know. But I mean, as a father, as a mother, you pray. And if they come to you for counsel, you get a dream or a vision or something like that. Obviously, you give it. You do what the Lord tells you to do. But y'all follow what I'm saying. Sometimes we're just juggling. We're trying to handle things that we shouldn't be handling. How many know we got to give some things to God? Amen? We got to give it to God. So the Lord has really blessed her and blessed our family. And as we pressed on in life, we continued to minister. We continued to move forward. And God continued to bless us. But we hit another very difficult moment. And many of you know where I'm going with this. So hold on, you know. But our son got sick in 2008, and he got sick with cancer. He was 23 years old, and he was my only son. And he got sick, and we battled that cancer for 9 months through great medical help, Mayo Clinics. We prayed, we fasted, we had people minister to him. You know, all of our great pastor and minister friends that you know of prayed for him and ministered to him. And ministered to us, and yet still, Bo passed, and he went on to heaven January of 2009. And it was a dreadful time, a very, very, very hard time in our life. And it left a lot of questions, it left a lot of debris, it left a lot of just difficulty in our life, pain, misunderstanding, just confusion beyond words. And, you know, some of you here were with us during that time. You saw us, you watched us, you prayed for us, you held up our arms. You know, I appreciate that so much, because without good people and good friends, you know, there's no way you can make it through something like this. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God is faithful. And these songs that we sang tonight about he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me, though my world turns upside down, his peace can still be found. And you know, that's the truth, that no matter what you go through, God is there and his grace is there to help you. And now I know a lot of you are questioning, say, oh, how did that happen? How could that happen? How could that happen? Well, listen, when you find out, you let me know, okay? Praise God. I'll be listening for you. I'll be listening for your answer if you get it all figured out, okay? But my son passed. And this was a very, very difficult time. But what's important is not the fact of why or how or anything like that at this point in life. What's important is that you should know how to get through a situation like this. What do you do when something doesn't go exactly the way you had planned it to go? Do you get mad? Do you get upset? Do you get angry? Do you get bitter, or do you get better? Amen? That's the point. Do we get bitter on things like this, or can we let God help us get through something like this to be a better person, to minister, to love, to help other people? In 2 Corinthians, Paul said that the God of all, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may comfort others with the same comfort wherewith we have been comforted. And you see, the issue is to get yourself in the presence of God, get yourself healed up when you go through difficult times like this, not only for your own personal healing, but also so that you can help others. And guess what, brothers and sisters? You can't help nobody until you're helped. Amen? It's like they say in the airplane, you know, they say if this plane drops in altitude, it says, and those oxygen masks come down, it says you put the oxygen mask on you first, amen, and then on your children. And, you know, we're not that way. We want to go help. We want to go help people, you know. But you have to have the oxygen mask on you first so that you can help somebody else. Can you say amen? And so that's what Jill and I did. I mean, after this loss, we put the oxygen mask on our mouth. I mean, we just started having to learn how to breathe again, learn how to worship again, learn how to just love again, because it was painful. And, you know, people don't understand that when you go through things like this, it's extremely, extremely painful. But God gives you grace. He gives us grace to help us in time of need. No matter what we go through, God will be there with his peace. And, you know, there were times when I didn't even want to worship God. There were times when I would just go to services like this, and I would just stand there, and as they would worship, but people would think, well, Charlie, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you worshiping God? Well, listen, I would be sitting there and letting God wash me with the water of his word, letting him wash me with worship, letting him wash me with song. I would get ministered to, and the peace of God would just envelop my heart and strengthen me as I sit in worship. And I just want to encourage you tonight that if you face difficulty, don't run from God, but run to God. Can you say amen? Run to him, because he is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the end. He that's begun a good work in you, he's the one who completed. So he's the one that we're to run to. And many times when we get hurt and embittered, we want to run from him. But he is the only place of refuge. He is the only place that can help us. He's the only one that can really heal our pain. Can you say amen? We were about a year after Bo passed, a good friend of mine, a pastor and his wife in Missouri, they called us and they said, our son just died in a tractor accident. They were devastated. And we reached out to them and we said, Lord, how can we help? And we said, let us come and minister in your Sunday morning for you. You don't need to be ministering. They said, please come, please come. So we drove out there, and on the way going out there, I said, Lord, I said, what am I going to say to these people? What do I say to this pastor? How do I help them? I'm still hurting myself. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, Charlie, he said, tell the people, he said, tell them that let me be the fixer and you be the lover. He said, tell the people to do the loving and I'll do the fixing. Did you hear that? Let you do the loving and I'll do the fixing. And you see, when people are going through difficult times, brothers and sisters, I want to help you with this. You need to learn how to love them. You don't need to be a judgment. So often when things go wrong in people's lives, if there's a divorce, if there's a tragedy, if there's a financial difficulty, if they're, you know, got a good friend who's lost his business recently, another good friend who lost his home. So often, right away, we want to come up with all the things that theologically, we got to find out what's wrong, you know. We want to fix it. We want to say, well, if you'd have done that, or if you'd have done that, or if you hadn't have done that, or if you'd have done that. You know, people, guess what? Let God handle that side of it. Amen? Let God handle that side of it. You be the lover. Let God do the fixing. You go love and help them. You know, when people are in pain, they need love. When people have experienced difficulty in their life, they need a lot of love. God is the God of all compassion. Can you say amen? Amen. He says he heals the brokenhearted. Amen. He binds up their wounds. He said he came to heal the brokenhearted. God, a bruised reed, he will not break, the Bible says. You know, so often people are bruised and hurting in our churches, and we'll be the first ones to go, well, man, bless God, if they would have done this, you know, that wouldn't have done that. Or bless God, if they'd have been believing right, if they'd have been praying right. Or bless God, if they'd have been doing this. Bless God, if they'd have done, you know. People, that's not good. That's not healthy. Amen? Be the one that reaches out and not in judgment, not in criticism. Don't sit in the seat of the scoffer or sit in the seat of judgment, but instead, love the people. Have compassion for them. They're hurting. Yeah, maybe there's some things they could have done differently. Maybe there's some things they could do better the next time. But guess what? If you love them and if you help them and strengthen them, they'll be able to recover, they'll get healed, and they'll be able to move forward in their life. I know several dear sisters that have been through divorces and they've tried to continue in the church, but they felt so uncomfortable, they felt like people were looking at them, talking about them, judging them, that they ended up leaving the church. And they started visiting this church and visiting that church and trying to find a place where they could find some refuge and find someone who would love them, find someone who would not judge them. And brothers and sisters, that ought not be. Amen? If someone goes through a difficult time in our churches, we should be the ones to embrace them, to love them, not to judge the situation, but to help them get better. Amen? We don't want people to get bitter. We want people to get better. And we, as the body of Christ, have this great privilege of loving people, of helping people, of embracing people. And you know, God blessed us with that. We had a lot of people that helped us, a lot of people that loved us through our difficult time. I mean, people came to us, loved on us, people were careful. Yes, we had some of them that said the wrong thing and did the wrong thing and judged us and things like that. But we had enough people, we shielded ourselves from that, and we had enough people that just kept loving us and was patient with us. And, you know, I want to just give a shout out to Andrew and Jamie Womack, because you know what? They loved us unconditionally through this difficult time. They were there for us through the whole thing. They supported us. They helped us. Andrew even told me, he said, Charlie, you take off as much time as you need because I want you to get healed up. I want you to get better. I don't want you to start back in ministry with us until you are ready, until you are strong enough and you can handle it. He said, take all the time you need. And you know, he helped us. He financially supported us and helped us through that whole time. He loved us. He was patient with us. And guess what? Even when we started back leading worship for him, there were times when we would lead worship and we were still hurting so much that we would go to the back of the room or we'd go up to our hotel room and we would just sometimes cry, sometimes just miss our son, sometimes just be still grieving, still hurting. And you know what? They never disciplined us and said, now listen, if you're going to lead worship, you better be here with us and you better be on the front row, you know. And guess what, man? They were patient with us. They were kind with us. They helped us and were very, very sweet. And you know what? We wouldn't be here today if people hadn't been that way with us, if people hadn't been patient with us and kind and just loving. The love of God will bring you through. Can you shout amen? Amen. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now I want to read a scripture to you that, in fact, I'm going to get my iPad and find it. One of the famous scriptures that we've sung for so long, you know, we sing, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, you know, on and on. What are these powerful, beautiful songs? But you know, I was reading this scripture in the New Living Translation. And I don't know if you have that translation with you, but if not, just listen here to it. This is powerful. This is preceding him saying, great is thy faithfulness. He says, I cry out, my splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. He said this, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. You guys ever read this in the Bible before? It's pretty amazing. And I'll tell you what, it's really blessed me. It helped me. Here he's saying, all my splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for is lost. People, I was there. I've been there. I know what it's like to be at a place where you feel like everything I've hoped for is lost. I've been there. Amen. He says, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. But look at this. He says, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. Isn't that beautiful? Notice how he turns this around. He says, my splendor is gone. Everything I'd hoped for is gone. He says, I'll never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet, I will dare to hope when I remember the faithful love of God, that his mercies never cease. Amen? God's love never ceases. And I just want to encourage you, nothing is greater than the love of God. Can you say amen to that, huh? Amen. I mean, you can have faith to move mountains. You can have hope. You can have all these things. But what does 1 Corinthians tell us? But if you have not love, you're nothing. You're nothing. So brothers and sisters, be prepared. Be in that realm of love. Above all else, walk in love with your brothers and sisters. If you want to see a healthy body, a healthy church, find people that love. Work on your love walk with the people around you. You love the hurting, love the sick, love the people who are going through pain, and you're going to see a body get stronger and a church get stronger and stronger. Can you shout amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, everything I had hoped for was gone, yet when I remembered the unfailing love of God, when I remembered his faithfulness, his mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin every single morning. I'll tell you what, Jill and I had to wake up every morning and just sit there. Sometimes we just had to hold each other. Sometimes we just had to let each other cry. We started leading worship and teaching at the Bible school right across the street from here. teaching the music school, starting the music school here. And guess what? We'd get there sometimes at 6:45 in the morning, getting ready to go set up for 7 a.m. worship. And we'd go park in that parking lot. And sometimes we'd just have to cry a little bit before we'd get up on that platform and minister to people and lead worship. Hey, guess what? That's okay. That's okay. How many even know it's okay to cry? Boy, crying's almost a bad word in a faith church sometimes. Hey, crying's okay. Amen. Jesus wept. Hello. Jesus wept. And Paul wept. It's okay to cry. You know what? You cry, and you cry in the arms of Jesus. And guess what? He's going to hug you. He's going to hold you. He's going to help you. And he's going to minister grace to you. And he's going to give you strength. He's going to give you power to overcome. He's going to give you exceedingly above all that you can dare to ask or even think. He will strengthen you beyond your wildest dreams. God is a God of help. He is the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. He's there to comfort us in all of our situations. And we need to allow God to comfort us and help us. You know, we're not to put up a shield and hide from difficulty. We're not to just play like it's not there. When you're hurting, when there's difficulty in your life, guess what? Get on your knees. Get on your face before God. Go ahead and cry. Go ahead and lay your burden before the Lord and allow him to come in and touch that part of your life and minister grace to that part of your life. Don't deny it. Don't just play like it's not there. Face it. Allow God to minister to these parts of your life that are hurting. It's okay to hurt. Amen. It's okay to hurt and allow you, if you don't allow yourself to hurt so that you can allow God to heal. Amen. If you just deny it, then he can't help you. But if you be real with him and you be honest with God, it's okay to be honest. He knows what's going on in your heart anyway. You might as well be honest. Amen. Sometimes he's waiting for us just to open it up and just say the truth. Say what's really going on inside of us. And then he can come and minister his word to you. He can come and minister his grace. He can come and help you with his love. But so often we try to hide. We try to hide these things that are going on inside of us. Jill and I were honest with each other. We were honest with God. We were transparent about our pain. You know, in our relationship, some people said, you know, a lot of marriages don't last when they lose a son or lose a child. 80% of them fail. And someone told us that. And we said, well, that ain't going to happen to us by the grace of God. And so we started being very sensitive to each other. You know, she'd walk in a room and I could see something wasn't right. And we just learned to communicate. And he just said, hey, I'm having a difficult morning. I'm thinking a lot about Bo. I'm hurting, you know, so be patient with me. I'm not trying to be mean. But, you know, and so we learned to communicate and to help each other walk through this difficult time. You know, instead I could say, hey, man, you need to be rejoicing in the Lord. Let's praise God today, you know. No, I allowed her to have some time that she needed to get through that particular part, that particular day, that particular moment in her life, season. And again, you know, she would do the same with me. The Bible says to weep with those who weep. Amen? To rejoice with those who rejoice, but to weep with those who weep. Amen. So we need to remember that we're not to be the ones that fix and correct every little thing, but we are to sometimes to grab somebody and weep. You know, as we were walking through this difficulty, there were people that we'd run into at church, and they would grab us, and they would say, I've been thinking about you, I've been praying for you, and I've been thinking about Bo, and I just can't even imagine what you're going through. And I just want you to know that we love you and we're praying for you. And we just want you to know that we care. And they'd give us a big hug. And sometimes a tear would roll down their eyes. Sometimes people we didn't even know, we'd share it with them and a tear would roll down their eyes. And I'd think, my, what compassion, what love. But you know what? That helped us. It helped us when people understood, when they had that compassion and when they felt the feel, you know, Jesus was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was touched. Amen. Jesus is touch, and you need to be touched with other people's confirmities. Not judge them, but be touched with it. Jesus was moved with compassion when he healed. He was because he felt it. He was touched with their feelings. He felt the pain. He understood the pain. You know, so often we pray for people out of our heads. We pray for people out of our theology and just say, oh, bless God in Jesus' name. Just say, we don't really care. We just want to see him healed and just get out of the way. And so we can go do whatever we want. But no, Jesus was touched with the feelings of their infirmities. When he walked in down the streets, he had compassion for the multitudes. He hurt with them. He saw the pain. He saw the hurt. And he wanted to help. And you have to see that, brothers and sisters. You have to see the pain. You have to experience the pain. You need to become, you know, one that understands that kind of difficulty. If someone's hurting around you, get involved with it. Don't run from it. I tell you what, I used to run from people that were having difficulty. I used to want to stay away from them because I was afraid I wouldn't say the right thing. I wouldn't know what to do. But guess what? I've learned how to jump right in the middle of it now. Jump right in. Like I said, that pastor we ran over to see, I didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't know how I would help them. I'm still hurting on my own, loss of my own son. But I knew I had to help him if best I could. And you know, we jumped in the middle of that and God helped us. And God helped them and God blessed us. And bless them. And time after time after time now, this is happening where Jill and I are just being, we find ourselves in the middle of these kinds of situations. See, God said, comfort others with the same comfort you've received. We're finding God using this difficulty, this pain, this incredible, awful situation that we've been through. But now we're finding him using this in our lives. Guess what? He'll do the same with you. You say, Charlie, you don't know what I've been through. No, I don't know. But listen, if you're making it through it and you've gotten through it and you've gotten to the other side, God has given you something now, a testimony that you can help somebody else with. Amen? And don't be shy about it. Go and touch somebody else with that pain that you've been through. You know, no one can help you like someone who's been through what you've been through. Amen? That's why Jesus is the great helper, because he's been through it all. He's touched with all the pain, all the sin, all the difficulty. And he bore it all for us. But God has given you that kind of ministry now to where you can help others with the same help that you have received. And you can use this gift. You can bless others. We find ourselves in situations now. We don't want to do it. You know, I had a friend of ours. We were on our anniversary three years ago. And a friend of ours' daughter was dying of cystic fibrosis. And of course we wanted to go in there and be the great healers. Of course we wanted to go in there and see her healed, you know. But guess what? She died. She died. And they looked at us and they said, help. We don't have a pastor. We don't know what to do. And here we are in that hospital with them as they lost their daughter. And we're like, she said, could you help us? Can you do the funeral? Can you help us in this situation? And like inside of me, I'm going, no, let me out of here. I don't want to be around this. I can't handle this again. I've already been through death. I've already been through this pain. I can't do this. I want out of here. I want to run from it, but I couldn't. God had put us right in the middle of that. And we said, sure, of course we will. Because of out of compassion, out of love, we said, of course we will. Of course, we'll do whatever we can. And guess what? We had to do the nitty-gritty stuff. Like find help call the legal authorities to pronounce her dead. We had to help with the cremation, finding the proper cremation point, help them make decisions on what to do, how to run the whole funeral. We had to go through all that again. But guess what? We were blessed to do it. We were happy to do it. God graced us to do it. And he'll grace you to help others with the same that are in pain, you know? Don't feel like what you've been through is like, you know, this is hell. I'll never want to go through it again. Well, yeah, I never want to go through what I went through again. But listen, take what you've been through and use it to bless somebody else. Can you shout amen? Amen. Take what you've been through, man. God has used you and helped you through it. And you say, well, Charlie, I'm still going through a difficult time. Well, guess what? God loves you and he's going to help you through that. And go talk to somebody that you know that's been through it. Guess what I did after Bo passed? I was broken. I didn't know if I'd make it. I didn't even know if I could breathe again. But I called and emailed about 5 or 6 ministers that I knew that had lost children. And I emailed them and I called them. And I said, listen, I'm dying. I'm suffocating. I don't know if I can make it through. I said, I need your help. Tell me what to do. I can't even barely breathe. Help me. Tell me what to do. And you know what? They all ministered to me. They all had something different to say. They all helped me. They all graced me. But I ran to help people. Listen, when you're going through difficulty, run for help. Amen? Get help. Of course, run to God, but also find good brothers and sisters. Go to the body of Christ. Find people who can help you in your situation. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Because that's what we are. We're the body of Christ together. We're all parts of him. We're his hands. We're his feet. We're the ones who will love and be his hands of love to each other. So I just encourage you, man, do that. Be the body of Christ. Be the lovers. Let God do the fixing. Be the lovers. Go and minister to people. Help people. Don't be speaking out of your head. Speak from compassion. Speak from your heart. Love people with the love of Christ. Help people, and you will be blessed for doing it. And those of you who are on the receiving end, you know you're going to be helped too. Amen? Well, listen, this is a lot different than I thought it would go, but I believe it'll help you. I trust that it'll minister to you. We love you. We appreciate you. We love Kaysen and the band and all that God's doing in this church. We love Pastor Lawson and all that he's doing here. This is a great church, and we're honored and privileged to be a part of it. We encourage you to keep pressing on in Jesus, okay? We love you. God bless you.